I'm gonna give Brother Strode some advice. If you're singing a song that we don't know, if you don't have it right, don't tell us. We won't know. I enjoyed that. That's beautiful, beautiful lyrics. I want to again ask your prayers today, and I just want to speak before you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. If you'd like to read the scripture lesson with me today, I'm going to ask you to turn to the second chapter of Acts. And I want to read beginning with verse 37 and finish that second chapter. So we're going to start with Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And I want to stop my reading there. I want you to notice something that was said that I read before you here this morning in the 40th verse. And what I want to speak about today is how we testify. How that we testify. And if you look in the 40th verse, the Apostle Peter, I'm telling you, he preached a powerful sermon here on this occasion. And if you look in that 40th verse, it said, And with many other words did he testify and exhort. And so here in this situation, we read about someone that testified with words. And, that's a common way that people testify. But words are not the only way that we give testimony. And so I want us to consider today the various ways that we do this, that we testify of things in our lives. Now, we read, several times in the scriptures about somebody testifying. And when we think about someone giving a testimony, we may think about what we practice as old-time missionary Baptist when we are receiving someone into the membership of the church. We require that person to come before the body and to relate in words, to relate to us a testimony of when the Lord saved them. We require that before we will receive anybody into the membership of the church. And so those who want to unite with the church, they come before us and they testify to us of what God has done for them in the salvation of their soul. Now, another thing that we relate to that, which we have heard from some here this morning. You know, when we meet for worship, it may be whenever that the pastor is asking the congregation if they have any request or if anybody has anything on their heart. I think, you know, I'm convinced that when the Spirit of God moves upon us to testify, that that's what we ought to do. We ought to speak up for the Lord. And so sometimes in doing that, now there may be times, as we heard here this morning and as we commonly hear, there may be times maybe somebody right after the choir has finished a song or something, somebody might feel the need to testify. And so, you know, we just, you know, have the liberty here to do that. And I don't believe as a church that we should ever squelch that. You know, we should always know that we are free and at liberty to testify of the things of God and the blessings of God upon our life. But sometimes it may happen that way, or as I said, sometimes when we begin to ask, are there any requests or anything that anybody has on their heart, someone may stand up as we've experienced here again today and give testimony, testify of the things that God has blessed them with and the things that they want to thank Him for. And so, you know, we can testify, and we often do testify with words. Now we read in the fourth chapter of John, we read about the woman at the well when Jesus traveling by there and being wearied of his journey and stopping there at Jacob's well for a drink to get refreshed. And here this Samaritan woman that came to the well there, and Jesus told this woman, he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that was talking to you, you would have asked of me and I would have given you living water. And I'm thankful that that we have record in that of that lady asking the Lord, well, give me this living water, because I believe He did give it to her. And then the Bible says, and of course, the Lord had made it known unto her that He knew her living situation. He knew that she had had multiple husbands, and the man that was with her now was not her husband. The Lord knew those things and told her that. And the Bible tells us that after these things had transpired, that this woman left the water pot and went into the city. And the Bible says that she testified to the Samaritans, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And the Bible says that many of them believed on Him for the saying of the woman which testified those things. And so you see, we don't only need those who have been called to preach the Word, but we also need all of those that know the Lord to testify before men of what God has done for you in your life. Because, listen, somebody, you don't have to hear a preacher preach in order to be saved. But you do have to hear about Jesus, don't you? You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and a person has to hear the gospel. And they may hear that in your testimony. And so it's important that we, you know, that we do that, that we testify of the grace of God upon our lives. And so, you know, like I said, there are many times and in various situations that we do that. I believe this, and I want you to think about this. I believe that when we come together like we are here today, when we assemble ourselves together to worship and we know that we are among people that have a kindred spirit, we are among people that have experienced the same thing that we have experienced, that we're much more bold and much more willing to testify about the goodness of God. Sometimes I'm afraid that when we are out in the world, when we're out there perhaps at our job or school or somewhere else where we're at, where we are around people that maybe don't have that kindred spirit with us and don't know, you know, exactly what we testify about, that maybe we're just not as bold to speak for the Lord in those situations, but we should be. We should be. We should be willing to testify for the Lord what He has done for us in life in all situations. And, you know, I believe, and I've spoke before about some of the examples that were set for me in my early years by my grandfather. And, you know, that was one of the things that I always noticed about him is it didn't make any difference to him where he was at or who he was with. He was always willing to speak a word for the Lord. And that's the way that we need to be in our lives. And I've told people before, I said, I believe that if he would have felt inclined to you know, to have a good prayer when he was in the middle of a shopping mall, that's what he would have done. He would have just, you know, he would have just prayed or talked to somebody about the Lord wherever he was at. And that certainly is the way that we need to be as God's people, because we have great things to testify about. We've got the greatest story that there is to tell. And so, you know, God help us that we would be willing to do that. Now, there are other ways, and I think this is, you know, something that we really need to consider, because there are other ways in which the Bible speaks about people testifying, and some of them are positive, and some of them it seems to be a bit more negative. I know one of those examples is found in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And that was when Jesus told his disciples, when he sent them out, and he told them, you know, whoever receives you, whoever takes you into their house and receives you there, you just abide with them and you take what they give to you. But he said, when you go into a city and they won't receive you, he said, when you leave that city, you shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And so you see, when we testify, it's not always standing up in a church service or something of that nature and speaking a word for the Lord about what He has done for us in life. Jesus told His disciples there when they did that, when they you know, when they left that city and you know, those people were not willing to receive God's word and they shook that dust off their feet. That was a testimony against them. And I'm going to tell you that that's a testimony that I promise you nobody wants. There's no city or no country or no household that is going to prosper when the people of God have to testify against them that, you know, we brought the gospel to you and you just would not receive it. And so according to the word of the Lord and to the instructions of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we shake the dust off of our feet as a testimony against you. And I believe that sometimes, even today, that the Lord's church still has to do that. But now let's always remember that before we can shake the dust off, we've got to get it on our feet. You know, let's not say, well, they wouldn't listen to us if we didn't give them the opportunity to listen. And so that in itself is a testimony in a negative way, because it was a testimony against them that they had denied the gospel. They had denied the word of the Lord. They had rejected that. And nobody benefits from doing that. You know, it's important, and I suppose that this is probably the most crucial point that was up on my heart to make today. And it's important, very important, that our testimony that comes from our actions matches up with our testimony that comes with our words. I mean, as God's people, that's very, very important because it takes more for people to believe our testimony. It takes more than just what we say. If what you testify with words is completely different than what you testify with your actions, then people are not going to consider your testimony to be credible. They're going to say, well, you know, that person evidently, they must live by the old saying, do as I say and not as I do. But we need to be sure that we live according to what we testify. And I'm going to tell you something. There can be a powerful testimony from God's people that can come about without words. Now, I realize today that I cannot stand before you and preach a sermon without, you know, without using words. And I realize that there are times when we need to testify vocally, and we need to testify as we read here in the second chapter of Acts. There are times when we do need to testify with words, but there are times in life when we testify to people and I believe have a great effect upon people without ever speaking a word to them. And Jesus said in the fifth chapter of Matthew, in the 16th verse, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now there, Jesus, I assure you that he was talking about giving a testimony, but he did not say to let your light so shine before men that they hear your good words. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And sometimes, in fact, I believe that this is a good rule. If a person cannot see Christ in you from your life, then you're not going to convince them of Christ being in you with your words. Now, you may believe that or you may not. I do. If we cannot portray Him in our life without words, then we cannot convince people that He's in us just because of what we say. And so Jesus said that we need to let our light shine before men in such a way that they see Christ in us, that they see our good works, not evil works, not nasty works, but that they see our good works. You know, the Bible tells us in the second chapter of Ephesians in verse 10 that when we have been saved by God's grace, that we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And so Jesus said, let them see your good works that by what they see that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. And say, you know what? There's something different about this person from other people that I know. I know that we have women, and I have tried to share this before, and I want to turn to 1 Peter and read this verse here in just a moment. But I know that we have some sisters here in our church that have husbands who are lost. And I've tried to, at times to help them with these verses. I find these to be very, interesting and I think really thought-provoking and ought to be very comforting because some people, listen, I mean, we know that there are some people that won't pay any attention to the written word of God. They won't give any credibility. Some people won't even give any credibility to the scriptures. Some people will deny that. Some people will say, well, why should I read that, or why should I place any confidence in something that I believe was just written by men? But I'm telling you, that doesn't make the situation hopeless. They can be brought around many times by the things that they see in other people. So we need to understand that our life, the way that we live before some people, might be the only Bible that they're reading. And I believe that's what the Apostle Peter was talking about here in 1 Peter chapter 3. He said, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And now, I'm going to tell you that the word conversation there doesn't mean what you're speaking. I know that we use that word a lot of times when we're talking to each other. We say that we're having a conversation with each other. But when the Apostle Peter here spoke about the husbands that don't obey the word, being one without the word, by beholding the chaste conversation of their wives, it's talking about their manner of living, their chaste lifestyle, their godly lifestyle, living the way that they live before them, that they can be won to the Lord based upon that which they see. And so, you know, that to me, that's not only consoling, but to me it says that we have a great responsibility. We have a great responsibility to this world as God's people. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote, and he said that there are things that are to never even be named among the children of God. There are sins, there are things in the flesh that we can do, that we are capable of doing, that Paul said should never even be once named among us. We need to be careful how we live our lives, because it is a testimony to those that are around us and to those that see us from day to day, and it can be a testimony to them that this person really is a child of God and really is living for God, or it can be a testimony that person they say before me that they love God, but they obviously don't. Because if they did, they wouldn't be doing the things that they're doing. You tell somebody how much you love your church and how much you love assembling with your church, and the next time they see you, you're out doing some worldly thing when your church is assembling, that's not going to have much credibility, is it? No, it's not. And so we need to line up our actions, because I believe this. I believe this old saying has always been true. Our actions speak louder than our words. They speak louder than our words. While they behold your chaste conversation, your chaste godly way of living. We need to let our light shine before the lost and dying people of this world, that they may desire. Listen, if the people that we come in contact with, if they don't desire, if people we come in contact with never have any inclination, never have any desire to have what we have, then obviously we didn't let our light shine very well before them. Because I believe that the Holy Spirit is attractive. Now, I'm not telling you that everybody will feel that way, but there ought to be people along the way in our lives that are won by the way that we live our lives in their presence and before them. That is testimony. Do you know that when you were baptized that you testified? Without saying a word, you testified. When you went into the water, when the preacher took you and put you under the water and brought you up out of the water, that without saying a word at all, that you testified. You testified to everybody that was looking on that you were changed. You testified that you were undergoing an ordinance that symbolized the change that had taken place in your heart when the Lord saved you. You gave testimony that I'm taking this old man of sin and I'm going to bury him. He's going to be buried here under this water, and I'm coming out to symbolize that I'm now going to walk in newness of life, that I'm going to live a different life than what I lived before. That's a public testimony. That we have been changed and that we now have a new nature and that we now have a new life and that we will live according to what the Lord has given us. I want to say this to anybody that's here today that's lost. God knows your heart. He knows your heart. What are you saying to the Lord? I want you to think about this. What are you saying when you know that you're not saved and you will sit back and you won't make any attempt to seek the Lord? You know, the Bible says, teaches plainly that if you're going to find the Lord, you're going to have to seek Him. You're going to have to be a seeker if you're going to be a finder. And what are you testifying and what are you saying to the Lord if He's dealing with you, drawing you to Him, and you won't have anything to do with it, you're pushing Him away? What are you saying? What are your actions saying? Think about that while we get ready to have a song. Let your light shine, church. It's so important because there's so many people out there that are lost. And they're seeing us. They're around us from day to day. And don't think that they're not judging your life. If they know, you're a child of God, don't think they're not judging your life because they are. Don't think they're not watching you because they are. And we need to live our lives in a way that it testifies that what we say we have is true. Let's stand and sing.
Number 14.